final confession. Last words, lasting mysteries.
Do you ever get stuck on the thought that the most important piece of code might be the one that never got finished? Not a program, not even close, just scraps that feel like a presence. A sketch of an idea so far ahead of its time, we're still catching up to it.
That's the version of history that keeps me awake. Not what happened, but what almost did. I've pored over a lot of old papers and private notes, but this one feels intimate. It's the big what if, and it lands in the gut, not just the head.
I'm with you. Her own phrase, poetical science. That's the seam I can't stop picking at, where hard math meets human imagination. That's where she sits.
Ada Lovelace. People stick the label first programmer on her and move on. But we're not chasing the thing she finished. We're chasing the thing she ran out of time to pin down.
The last algorithm, or whatever we want to call it, she was wrestling with as the clock ran out. Maybe illness swallowed it. Maybe debt buried it. Or maybe something stranger kept it from solidifying.
So what was she reaching for, right at the end? If we stitch the pieces together, do we see the future she could almost touch? And the one we let slip?
Quick aside, I should not have scheduled this right before lunch. That's on me. Anyway, if you're hunting for it, you have to ditch the idea of a tidy paper trail. The clues hide in the clutter. Margins of letters to her mother, even the backs of betting slips.
Which says a lot about where her mind was. The fear. The scramble. She's drowning in debt. Her body's failing. Cancer ripping through her. And attention is a shattered mirror.
Exactly. So you read the math, but you also read the life. There's a letter to Charles Babbage a few years before she dies, and the tone shifts. Less collegial, more driven, fevered, honestly.
What does she put on the page?
She pushes past rote calculation. She talks about a machine that could craft complex music, not just crunch figures. Then there's the line that won't leave me. She wants the engine to probe the principles of harmony and composition, and she's working on a way for it to explore what she calls the calculus of the nervous system.
In the 1850s? That phrase is wild. It sounds like neuroscience before the word existed. A prehistory of artificial intelligence.
Exactly. A formulation you don't expect in that century at all.
So, how does Babbage answer?
That's the snag. We don't have his reply, if there was one. We've just got her side, suspended in silence.
Could she have meant it metaphorically? Her whole lens was poetical science. Maybe calculus of the nervous system was her way of naming a tangled set of computations. A framework for herding chaos without claiming you could mimic a brain.
That's the conservative read, and for a long time it carried the day. But then a researcher sifted her betting ledgers, the same ledgers from that disastrous horse racing scheme she thought would dig her out.
The syndicate. Absolute master plan. That was sarcasm, to be clear.
Total fiasco. But in the margins next to entries for the Epsom Derby, you get these drawings. Not formulae. More like branching nodes. Some feed back into themselves. They don't scream equations. They look uncannily like early neural nets.
So you're threading that line in the letter to those margin diagrams.
I think we have to allow for it. What if she wasn't just riffing poetically? What if she was trying to invent a notation for a process nobody would formalize for another 100 years?
A device that doesn't just tally numbers, but imitates a living process. Maybe even the shape of a thought. That's not a next step from the analytical engine. That's a sidestep into a different world.
Right. The line between instrument and counterpart. The analytical engine is a magnificent instrument. You feed instructions, it obeys. Extension of will. But this calculus of the nervous system.
is an extension of mind, or the seed of one.
It's the jump from procedure to something like cognition, even creation. And then I trip on the social part. How does that land with the people around her, with Babbage?
That's what I can't square. If your closest collaborator hears an idea that seismic, why do we get nothing back? No flurry of letters? No excited sketching on his end?
Million-pound mystery. And look, I'm not here to rescue his reputation.
You're defending him pretty hard for someone nobody accused.
Fan, let me restate. He's brilliant and famously hard to steer. Obsessive. His focus has collapsed onto brass and tolerance stacks, the nuts and bolts reality of the engine.
A clockwork cosmos he can perfect.
Exactly. And she shows up talking about nerves. Messy, stochastic, biological. Maybe his filter just labeled it poetic fog and moved on.
Or he grasped a sliver of it and panicked. Their project is already barely funded, under ridicule. If people thought they were trying to conjure a mind in Victorian England, that's not just risky, that's reputational arson.
They'd be branded heretics. Doors would slam. So maybe he doesn't argue. He just starves the idea of oxygen.
Protect the thing you can hold, even if it means turning away from the thing you can barely name. It's very human.
There's another angle I can't shake. Timing. She writes about a nervous system just as hers is failing catastrophically. By all accounts, the pain is blinding.
You think she's trying to chart her own deterioration?
What if she is? In the clear spells, the poetical scientist hunts for a pattern, an algorithm for the betrayal she's living, modeling the very system that's breaking her.
Then those margin sketches aren't just abstract nets. They read like a personal wiring diagram, a mind under siege from pain, opiates, and the dread math of overdue bills.
It would explain the heat in her tone, the rush. This stops being a thought experiment and becomes survival, hers.
Which flips the whole quest for me. We're not chasing a lost routine. We're chasing the echo of a thought, happening while a mind was splitting under pressure.
That's why it's so slippery and so sad. The ghost in the machine here is literal in one direction and impossible in the other. The machine never existed, and the ghost was a person.
I keep circling one more question. If she'd had a few more years, less pain, fewer creditors, could she have fixed the notation, forced Babbage or anyone to see what she saw?
I don't know. Part of me thinks the spark was welded to that crucible. Genius fused with suffering and couldn't be cleanly abstracted. Poetical science run right to the edge.
The poetry overrunning the science, or something near that.
Or the two becoming indivisible. Maybe that's the crux. We hunt a final algorithm, like it's code we could compile. But what if it wasn't meant for a device at all? What if it was a procedure for apprehending a soul? I know, soul is a loaded word, but I don't have a better one.
Heavy, yeah, and it tracks. When I think about the letters and those frantic doodles by the horses' names, the through line isn't just curiosity. It's urgency, a need to wrest order from her own chaos.
A way to tease signal out of noise, pain as data.
The thing I've been dodging saying is this. We went looking for the birth of AI, and I think we found it, but not with the lab coat sheen we tell stories about. It starts on a betting slip, in a consciousness grappling with mortality. I'm joking.
I see it a little differently. Not origin, but warning. Her calculus of the nervous system holds art and music inside the model of mind, fully human, fully entangled. The route we took later, much more Babbage. Gears, levers, brute computation.
We picked the instrument instead of the counterpart.
We did. And we've been walking backward ever since, trying to bolt art and poetry onto machines without noticing that's where the idea began. Her thoughts still humming, we've just been listening off frequency.
So, the search for Ida's last design isn't over. Maybe it never will be. But I think we're finally asking it the right way. Not, where's the code? But what was the mind trying to say?